If you've been paying attention over the last few weeks, which I'm sure you have, you'll know that we've been on the Mount with the Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. This leads us to yet another mountaintop experience, this time on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. The mountain is not just a vivid location for a scene, but it also has huge, significant theological significance. Like Moses on Mount Sinai, Matthew's Jesus will hear God's voice directing the prophet and the people. This dazzling scene that Gwen depicted in that reading is a powerful high moment in the gospel. After all, such moments of powerful encounter with God are not all that common. But the significance of the appearance of Moses and Elijah need some taking on board. For in the end, what does the transfiguration have to say not about them, but what does it say about our walk of faith today? What does it have to say to our faith on an emotional level and on an experiential level? What does it have to say to us? Well, it's all about change. It's all about change. And we all know what change is like. We have all woken up to change in our lives. We've all woken up to change in our nation. We've all woken up to change in the world around us. And we've all got up the next morning wondering, what just happened and what do I do now? Sometimes it was change that we wanted. Other times it was change that we never wished for or wanted. Sometimes we experience the change as positive and good and life-enhancing. At other times, that change was painful and loss of something that we valued and the loss of something that we wanted. Whether we see it as good or bad, desired or unwanted, change always comes with consequences, challenges and questions, and I guess opportunities as well. I know that every one of us here could tell our own story or two about the changes that we have experienced in life, the changes that are happening in our lives even right now as we speak, or the changes that we hope for, or the changes that we fear might happen. How do we live in the midst of change? What handholds are there when it seems that the world around us and the world within us is changing? I wonder if the disciples in today's gospel reading that Gwen read for us might have been asking that same kind of question. And if they too were feeling the wind of change blowing through their lives. And this is why. Immediately before Jesus takes Peter, James and John up the mountain, he tells them and the others that he must suffer, die and be resurrected on the third day. And just to make sure they understand it, when they've come down later on, he tells them it all again. Sometimes, you know, the disciples needed telling more than once what was going to happen. What happened on the mountain then took place between Jesus' two statements about impending change. Maybe that event that we call the Transfiguration's posh theological word was about preparing and helping the disciples live through the coming change. So maybe it wasn't just about Jesus and Elijah and Moses. Maybe it was actually about them. Maybe the Transfiguration story has something to teach and to show us about how to live in the midst of changing times. times and circumstances. Maybe that's why every year this Transfiguration reading, whoever happens to be preaching, providing they're following the lectionary, this is the set gospel reading, one of the gospel readings for the Sunday before we begin Lent. It's the Sunday before Lent, a season that focuses on everything changing. Change, whether on a mountaintop of life or in the valley of the shadow of death, is a reality for us all. So we're going to have 3 points. Firstly, Jesus, the voice in the cloud, in the mist says, "Listen to him." One of the things that we are aware of in the midst of change is how many voices there are speaking to us. So you think about a moment of change in your life, and think of all the wise words of people and the different voices that speak. Some of those voices come from outside of us. Some of those voices come from within us. There are the voices of the commentators chattering about what is happening and what should be done. There are voices, depending what we've done, depending what the change is, there are voices of judgment. There are voices of second guessing. There are voices of fear, depending what change is taking place in us. There are voices of self-doubt. There are voices of self-criticism. There are all the would-have, should-have, and could-haves. Some voices tell us to hide and run. Some tell us to fight and resist. Isn't it called the fight or flight thing, isn't it? Response. Flight or fight. So you either flee or you stay and you sort it out. Some voices ask questions. Other voices ask for explanations. Other voices deny what's happening. They may blame other people or declare that it might be the end of the world. Some voices cry out for our attention. But not every voice that we hear in moments of change is helpful or worth listening to. Some voices might sound sweet, but they are not good for us. The story of the Transfiguration really says there is one voice to listen out for. The voice of God speaks from the bright cloud overshadowing Peter, James, and John and says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So, friends, what if, in the midst of change and turmoil in our own lives, we sought to hear and to listen to the one voice, that one voice, to listen for the voice of Jesus? What if we kept our ears open to what he is saying in our life and in the world today? To let ourselves become aware of and attentive to what he is saying and doing, to let his concerns and desires become our concerns and our desires, to let his way of engaging life and the world become our way of engaging life and the world. It would mean that whatever change comes upon us, it doesn't have to be the final word. Whatever comes upon us doesn't have to be the final word, whatever that change may be taking place in our lives. There is another voice. Jesus is always speaking a word larger and more powerful than all the other voices around us, even if they try to be helpful. Jesus speaks a larger word and a more powerful word than all the voices around us. In the midst of change, Jesus speaks a word of life, a word of hope, a word of forgiveness, a word of mercy, a word of beauty, a word of generosity, a word of hospitality, a word of courage, a word of love, a word of healing. Jesus speaks a word to and for you and me. The question is, are we listening to the word, to his voice? Secondly, I guess we've all faced change that has caused us to stumble and fall. That change that sometimes has paralysed us, and when you never get more than one thing happens, they'll all come in twos and threes, won't they? Crises come in twos and threes. It's never just one thing. And they may have left us overwhelmed, and we've all been in those circumstances. Again, this is not about whether the change is perceived as good or bad. It's about regaining our balance, about getting our feet back under us. It's about stepping into new life when we aren't sure what that new life might quite look like, or if there really is any new life awaiting us. The three disciples, Matthew tells us, fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. I bet they were. Jesus touches them and says, "Get up." But it's more than just get up, get off the ground. A more literal translation would be something like, be raised up. Be aroused from your sleep of death. Or even, it may even be interpreted as, be resurrected. Get up, be resurrected. That's what it may mean. Jesus, and we get that same word in various healings of different people and at the resurrection as well. And of Lazarus. It says to Lazarus, get up. It doesn't mean get up, it means come alive again, be resurrected. Jesus comes to us in whatever circumstances of change we may find ourselves in. He touches us and says, get up. Be raised up. Be resurrected. It's a promise that though life has changed, it hasn't ended. Although life may have changed, it hasn't ended. Somehow, new life is hidden in the midst of change, even the change we don't like, even when we cannot see it and don't believe it. God uses changing circumstances of our lives and world to bring us into new life. Many of us may have struggled with the words of the covenant service when we used to say the words, put me to doing. It's all right. Put me to suffering. It didn't mean, and I'm not suggesting either, that God directly causes change to come upon us in a bad way. But I am suggesting that God never wastes a chance to draw forth new life from the circumstances that change and challenge us, even for the ones that don't make us feel very good. The challenge to get up, be resurrected. And thirdly, most of us, I expect, live with some level of fear about change. You know the story about the chapel who decided, we've heard this before, they decided it was time to move the piano from this side of the church to that side of the church. And they decided, of course, that it was too much to cope. So week by week, they wheeled it slowly so they could get used to it being in a slightly different place, until after about 4 or 5 months, the piano was finally in the place where it was going to be, so they could get used to the changing circumstances. So most of us live with a level of fear. Change often brings fear. The fear of losing what we love, losing what we value, losing and what we desire. And sometimes it's the fear that comes with getting, sometimes it's the fear of getting what we want. In the midst of change, Jesus said, Thirdly, do not be afraid. He speaks to the heart of the human condition. And they are words that we need to hear when we are raised up and back on our feet. Do not be afraid. His words do not magically eliminate our fear. Instead, they call us to take the first steps into a new and changed life, despite our fear, because we've built up the resilience to cope. They are the assurance, once again, that change does not have to have the final word. Christ does. Change doesn't have to have the final word. Christ does. We are not called to be fearless, but to be courageous in the midst of change and fear. So, I think I know quite a number of you after all the time I've been here, but I don't know all the changes that we're dealing with in our lives at this time. Maybe it's in our relationships, maybe it's with our children, maybe it's with the death of a loved one, maybe it's our health, maybe it's our age, maybe it's our mental well-being, maybe it concerns our work, maybe it concerns our job, maybe it concerns our income or how we're going to cope. Maybe it's a dream or a plan that didn't work out. Maybe life is going exactly as you want. Maybe you are on the road to recovery and well-being, praise the Lord. Maybe everything has fallen into place and you've got all your ducks in a row. For the first time, you're feeling re-energized and alive and ready for anything. Listen to him. Be raised up. Resurrected, and do not be afraid. What if those words are holy wisdom for our times of change? What if they are the means by which we step into our own transfiguration? Maybe it wasn't Jesus who changed on the mountaintop, although that's what we commonly talk about. Maybe it was Peter, James, and John. Maybe their eyes were opened and their seeing changed so that everywhere they looked, they saw Jesus himself alone. Maybe they saw Jesus for the first time as he had always been. Although Jesus did have to remind them when they went down the mountain what he was going to do. And if that's true, and I believe there is truth in it, then it means that every change, and many of us here have been through lots of changes in our lives in the past year, every change, whether good or bad, whether it's been wanted or unwanted, joyful or sorrowful, is illumined with divine light and filled with God's presence. If we listen to him, be raised up by him, and do not be afraid. Amen.